Well, good evening. How is everybody? Seriously, don't answer. We don't have time. Well, we do welcome you. Well, Father, we thank you for this evening. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that no matter what we hear and no matter what we see, we know that you're in charge of everything, and in all things we give you praise and we give you thanks. Thank you, Father, for this lesson. This lesson is a lesson of preparation. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, you know, what we were talking about last week, because there's so much to say about it, and it just seems to be on God's heart. That he wants, you see, these again are my notes. This, you know, when I go in there to study with him and to fellowship with him, this is what pours out of him. And, you know, I write things down, and of course I do that all week long. But this seems to be, you know, what he wants known about him. Last week we learned that God is our avenger. And we found out that avenger is a really good word. It means someone who is in trouble and someone comes to their rescue. And that's what God is. We want to start tonight with Isaiah 63. Let's just jump right into this. Because the Bible speaks for itself, you know, and it's speaking loud and clear. What I have come to understand in this last siege that we've been through is that Americans, you know, we know the Word of God, and we know, especially Isaiah is saying, you know, I will come and save you, and, you know, keep the faith and hold on and remember that I love you, and I'm spreading out my hands all day for you, and all this kind of stuff. But it never really meant anything to us because we never had to fight anything. You know, we never had to resist. We never saw a government that was out of control. That's just never happened in our history. So what I find now that we are going through an upheaval, what I find is that this Bible is far more alive. The words, especially in the Old Testament, are far more alive to me. And I'm reading it with a different attitude. I'm reading it as a fortification for me. Not just what God will do and, you know, I'm going to do this and all this. I mean, it's a preparation. It's he is encouraging us, you know, because we've gone through our private little battles, and a whole lot of times if we don't get together with one another, we don't really know what one another is going through. You know, I mean, 3 hours ago, I didn't think I was ever going to make it down here, you know. But see, I come in here and I look fine, right? And, you know, you come in here and you look fine, you know. And it's not that you're faking anything. You're really not. It's just when we come into the atmosphere of the saints, we are fine. We are fine. When I see your faces, some of your faces, you know, I'm fine. If I have my brothers and sisters around me, everything is okay. Everything is okay, you know. But we go through private battles that we don't really get to express to one another. But I find what we're going through now. In my studies, you know, in my favorite subject is God. I love talking about Father God. And what I find now is that I believe with all my heart that he is telling us this is a corporate thing. And this little body, you know, there may not be very many of us, but the ones that come and have been faithful all these years, they got potential with God. We have potential with God. And he sees us as very mighty people because we have endured a great deal. But now we are enduring. There seems to be a corporate endurance that's going on now, where I feel closer to my brothers and sisters when I'm even at home. Without you, I just feel you there. Whereas before it was always, all right, how am I going to get through this? And what am I going to do here? And how am I going to handle that? No, I seem to be moving like the old Peanuts group. You know, we seem to be moving in a bunch. I don't know if you feel that way. I believe you do, because I really believe that God is bringing us together. Those that will tolerate what's going on and keep believing and keep encouraging one another, he's going to do something with us. We don't know what, but it's going to be really, really good. But let's see what else he has to say about the subject of vengeance. This guy, I'm just going to call this Vengeance Part 2. Okay, so in Isaiah 63 and verse 4. Now, I'm sorry, I just have to pull out this one verse, but we don't have time to read the whole thing. But I mean, Isaiah, I'm still in Isaiah. What can I say, you know? But verse 4 here says, for the day of vengeance is where? In my heart. Now, you know, that puts a whole different light on things. When he says, the day of vengeance is in my heart. And at the same time, the year of my redeemed is come. So, like I said last week, and we have to remember this, everything that we see that is going on, I'm not sure we're going to get a break from it. We don't know, but we need to be prepared. Anybody that stands up and reads and preaches the Word of God needs to be preparing the people that he's preaching to. Okay? You need to be prepared. We can't stand up here and do hearts and flowers, you know, because the day of vengeance seems to be assembling, and we need to know what it is and not to fear it. Because at the same time, when all of this garbage is coming to us and all these things that we don't recognize, we don't know what to do about these things, nobody seems to know what to do about them, but at the same time, we need to remember, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And we are about to enter into some power, guys. If we will hang in there, if we will stay steadfast with the Lord, all this demonic power that you're seeing is a drop in the bucket compared to what is going to emanate out of the body of Christ. That's what's coming. Because he says both of these things are coming at the same time. He's not going to leave us here being beat up and wanged every which way from Sunday and not in us just standing here, okay? That's not going to happen. The body of Christ is going to come forth. We don't know how, but we know it's going to. And we are pulling together. We are. And we will pull together. As the days go on, we will. And God will be there for us. Now, we learned last week that, you know, vengeance, it comes in three parts. But what I really want to really look at is the vengeance is coming out of God's heart. So you know it's not an anger. It's not he's not mad. What he is he's grieving. You know, that's what comes out of the heart. That he has to bring forth what's coming forth, what he has to bring forth. But it's a grief to him. Grief comes from the heart. Anger comes from the head and from the emotions. Grief comes from the heart. So we learned last week that vengeance means, number one, it means, first of all, we're going to be vindicated. We're going to be justified. Well, that's happened. You know, let's go over to Deuteronomy 7. I wasn't going to do this, but why not? Deuteronomy 7. This is such a strong, strong chapter. It's become one of my favorites. Okay, Deuteronomy 7, and where shall we begin? I didn't write it down. But, okay, let's start in verse 9. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Okay, So what we need to know and to understand and believe and hold on to is that he keeps his covenant. He's got an agreement with us that he will take care of us and we will receive his mercy. But verse 10 goes on to the second part of this word, vengeance. It says, and repays them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face. Those are some hard and fast words. Look at verse 11. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command you this day to do them. Just do them. That's all we have to do. Just do it. All right? So, that was the second part. And in the third part, he's already said, is that they will be punished. So we get vindicated. There's going to be payback. There's going to be everlasting punishment. That's the plan. And we have to remember this for when these strange things are coming about and we're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do with this. You know, I just don't know what's going on. But what we need to understand is that this whole thing is coming to pass because God's desire is to restore everything. When we talk about God's vengeance, his vengeance is coming that he might restore things. He's putting everything back to how he originally planned it to be. And all of this stuff, all of this repayment, all of this punishment, all of this destruction that we're going to see, you know, as we press on, is going to be a restoration for us. So there should not be terrible fear. And I'm going to show you some things about how, you know, how he's going to do this. This is so, so good. Let's go back to Luke 4 now. Luke 4, and, you know, we know that in Isaiah, what is it, Isaiah 61, I think it is, Isaiah says, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, all right? And Luke 4, 3, let's see. No, 13, I'm sorry. Luke 4, 13. Now, I want you to, you know, we read these words, but we don't get the vision. We don't make a picture of what's going on. And so what I want you to do is I want you to see Jesus. As I'm reading this, I want you to see him moving, what he's really doing, okay? You know, they say everything is in the red letters. I like the black letters, too, because it sets the scene, and you know what's going on, all right? And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. So the first thing we have to realize is that we are being tested. Yes, we are. And the tests are getting deeper and deeper and more thorough as we go. But the testing does end. Okay? It might start up in another area, but we are not going to be tested on and on and on and on and on. It comes to an end, all right? And, you know, just like Jesus, it says in verse 14, and Jesus returned after he went through all that stuff with the devil, which we're going through, still are in some areas, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Now, you know, as well as I do, every time we go through a test and we overcome that test, do we not have a little more power? Don't we feel a little more, all right, you know? There's just something that breaks loose and something that we are given after we endure a test, just like Jesus. He returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. He had a great reputation, okay? And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So I want you to see him walking into this synagogue. It's in his hometown. And he walked in. He must have sat down, first of all. And everybody was assembled, just like we are on a Sunday morning. Everybody's chatter, chatter, you know. And then all of a sudden, the service is going to begin, and everybody sits down, right? Everybody gets quiet. And that's what's happened here. And he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. So apparently, they knew that when someone stands up in their congregation, he must want to read, you know. And so they went and got the book for him. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And it cuts it right there. Because in Isaiah it says, you know, the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn. Jesus never said that. He never said anything about vengeance. And he closed the book. Now there he is. He read it. He closes the book. And he gave it again to the minister. And sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Now they heard those words. Now what was Jesus doing? He came in and he officially announced his ministry. Now what was his ministry? His ministry is exactly what we are doing. You could read verse 18 and you could put your name in there, because we are anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. We are anointed to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. We are anointed to recover the sight of the blind. We are anointed to set at liberty them that are bruised. And so Jesus announced that this was his ministry. It was the ministry of the church age. This is what we're doing. And all the time, all through these 2,000 years, what we are doing is separating, separating, separating. When you preach the word, it's either damnation to those or it's glory to them. And all the time, every word that Jesus preaches, every word that we say, every time God uses us, there is a separation going on. And so that's what he was announcing. And we are still carrying this very thing out. There is no vengeance, okay? That's not in the church age. It is only come, come, come. No fear, no warnings. Well, we get those, but, you know, there's no retaliation. There's no payback. You know, sometimes we think, God, why don't you just let them have it? Because this is the church age. The church age is to heal, to lift up, to protect, to keep. But now we are seeing and we are hearing change. The scene that we have known all this time in the last 2,000 years is beginning to change, and we're not quite sure what we're looking at. But let me ask you this. Is there not a rumbling going on in you? You know, when you watch, you know, the craziness that's going on, is there not something that's happening on the inside of you? There's a rumble going on in me, and I really don't know what to do with it, but I know there's a change there. Because I'm a fighter, okay? And I see a fight coming. I see that there's going to be a clash here. Because these people who are doing all these insane things in these cities are not sane, okay? There's something worse happening in them. It's very demonic. And they think with all their heart that they are right in what they're doing. They're not lying. They're acting out their truth. They're not doing this, you know, lying to us, you know. They're acting out their truth. And when you're acting out your truth, you're not going to change. We're acting out our truth, and we're not going to change. And the two of them just don't go together. And so there is like a rumbling. It's just, and we're all standing around like scared sheep. You know, I just turned on the TV for like 5 minutes. And, you know, they were saying, well, I think all this stuff that is happening in these cities, it's going to metastasize. You know, we're going to have this in all of our cities. Yeah, they're going to set up, you know, this gang. Listen, this gang is a little gang, okay? Maybe there's 100 of them, you know, or maybe 200. I don't even think there's that many. But the fear that they have purported on this country is unbelievable. We're standing around like scared sheep. You know, well, you know, the law enforcement, they can't handle this. And you know, what are we going to do? You know, and we really don't, we listen to, I turned the thing off because what happens? Now I got a spirit of fear, right? Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? You know, what are we going to do here? You know, what am I going to do? Well, what if that does happen? What would we do? How would we, you know? And you know that, and we start. At least I do. I start thinking. Well, I would do this, or I would do that because I'm a fighter, you know. And I'm going to plot my course and just go at it. No way. That's not God's way. He's been having to teach me for a very long time that you don't fight the way you used to. That the two of them are totally opposite. You know, it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit, and we're going to have to learn what that really looks like and what that really means. Each one of us are going to have to do this. You're not going to be able to hide behind someone else, okay? As time comes closer and closer, you are going to have to stand back and know that Jesus is right there behind you. And at some point, you're going to have to begin to step forward, all right? Now, is Jesus going to be there when you step forward? Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's going to be there. But we've got to learn his ways. We've got to learn his signals, you know? We don't know exactly what we're supposed to do. We don't seem to have any power. Where, you know, and they just fall over dead and stuff like that, you know. And, you know, we don't have any. What do we have besides the Word of God that we have packed into our hearts? And I'm thinking, Lord, do I have enough Word packed into my heart that if something happens in my neighborhood and I call the police and they don't come, now what? Do I have enough in me? You know, we ask ourselves these things. Well, how can we find out if we have what we need? You know, how do we settle ourselves? Through the Word of God. This is a battle book. It'll give you all kinds of scenarios. And we're going to get into some of those because I like the fight. So let's go over to Ezekiel, and actually we're going to, I put down in my notes Ezekiel 37, but then I look back at Ezekiel 36 and I said, yeah, that's really good, thank you, Lord, because I run to the Bible, this is my strength, This is all we have, so it better be real to us, you know? All right, so Ezekiel 36. Now, before we get into this, what we have to understand about all this stuff that is rumbling and you know, it's evil and we can't see, we don't know how to handle ourselves and all of this. There's one thing that we have to remember above everything else. You have to lift yourself up very high and look down on what's really happening. And that's what I do every time I flip off the television is say, No, because nothing is going to happen until God's army is ready. Okay? Now, we hear the rumblings, and there are things going on in us, and we're looking, and we're seeing change, we're sensing it, we're sensing that our, you know, our bastion of democracy here is seems to be crumbling before our eyes. And so there has to be something more, and we're looking for that. But what we have to understand is this whole thing, the whole time glitch from eternity past to eternity future, there is a time glitch, okay, of 6,000 years, 7,000 years. Okay, that's time. That's time. And God's put that in the middle of eternity because he's looking for a family. These nations, these people, and everything that's going to go on and everything that we're going to experience is not the ultimate. What God is looking for is his children, his people, his army. And there's nothing that's going to take place until that army is formed. They can't do anything. They can't annihilate anybody until the army of God is formed. And we know that we're not really that much together. You know, you sit down and you think about the body of Christ and you think, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. But through all of this, there's going to come a great falling away, okay, which the Bible predicts, okay? There will eventually be a falling away because just because you're saying that you're a Christian doesn't mean you are. You know, you're going to have to act like a Christian, and you're going to have to speak like a Christian. You're going to have to do things that Christians do, all right? You just can't say, well, I am. You just stay out of my church now because I'm Christian, and you just leave us alone. They're not going to. They're not going to. Everything that's coming at us is a hatred of God, and here we are. So just like they hated Jesus and thought they killed him off, they're going to come after us the same way as things begin to wind up. God's got a plan here, and we need to know what it is, and we need to believe. We need to believe this is what's going on. So in Ezekiel 36, this is a picture of where we are right now, and I'm just going to jump over some scriptures. He said in verse 24, well, I will take you from among the heathen, did he not? And gather you out of all countries, did he not? And will bring you into your own land, that's where you're supposed to be. And I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be cleaned from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. I'm going to put a new heart in you. And it says that's being born again. Okay? That's what has happened to us. In verse 27, he says, and I'm going to put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And so he's saying what he's doing. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness. Well, this is exactly where we are. This is what we're going through. We're going through the sifter, you know. We're going through the second rinse. I mean, we're going through everything we can go through to get the garbage out of us. Get the garbage out. Get the, you know, the human stink out of us, and cause his spirit to totally fill us from head to toe. This is where we are. So having that in mind, now we hop over to chapter 37. Now a whole lot of this starts to make sense because 36 is where we are, 37 is where we're going. And it's all so clear here. 37 verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Now, first of all, you know, I looked up so many words here, but we can't go over them all. But, you know, I looked up valley, and you know what that word means? It means a split. That's exactly what the concordance says. It's a split. It's a plain between two mountains. So this is actually where we are right now because we're seeing a split. We're seeing a divide. We're seeing a division. We're going to see a great falling away because it's between two mountains. You're going this way. Is this going to, you going to claim this for your mountain or are you going to claim this for your mountain? There's not going to be anybody on the fence. You're going to say who you are, and you better be who you are, or you're going down, all right? So, let me see. And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. This is what has happened in the church. You know, we've done all our praising and whoop-de-doo and hallelujah and all this kind of stuff. But when it comes to any kind of, you know, applying it to our personal life, very little, if anything, is going on. Now, we can't say that here because we get it preached to us most every Sunday. Get out there and do the word. Change on the inside. Overcome things. Everything that comes to you, work it and overcome it. But most people are not taught that, and most people will not do that. There's only always going to be a remnant. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Oh, Lord, you know. You know. All right. So then verse 5, he says, Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. Now, you know, he's not talking to just bones. He's speaking to men here, okay? Because that comes out a little later on, you know. He's referring to men. Look at verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Oh, my goodness, I looked up noise. All right, this is what's coming to us here, okay? It means to call aloud. And it means a proclamation, and it also means sing. Now, remember how important worship and singing is, you know, in our, that's our warfare. That's our weapon. If we can sing in the middle of the mess, we pop right out of it. Actually, that's what I was doing. I'm telling you what, I had such a battle about, you know, 3-4 hours ago that I got on my phone and I said, Google, play, what do you call it, Every Praise. And so Google comes on, Every Praise is to our God. Now I'm laying on the bed when it started. I get off of the bed. And I'm going, Every form of worship in one accord. And I just, Every Praise is to our God. My dogs are sitting there watching this, you know, and I'm just, the arms are going, man, and I'm singing. Because I knew that there was a force that is trying to keep me from what God has told me to do. And so that's what this word noise means. Make a noise. When you feel that fear coming on you, when you feel, you know what the Lord told me? I don't, Larry, maybe you know if this is true or not. But I was very sad today. I was just very sad. And the Lord said to me, take some deep breaths. And what he said to me was, when a person is sad, you breathe very shallow. And I didn't know that. And I wasn't feeling very good, you know. And so I started deep breathing. I just breathed in, held it, and blew it out. And you know what? Then the peptides start going, you know, and I felt a whole lot better. I really did. Then I put the music on, and then I started making noise. You know? Now, we're either going to do it or we're going to die. You know? Who would have been up here tonight? One of you, I'm sure of it. So a noise means to call aloud. There was a noise. He heard a noise. Somebody was calling. And behold, a shaking. Oh, hallelujah. And the bones came together. Listen what this says. Bone to his bone. Talking about men here. We're talking about an army, you know. But see, here's where we are in the body of Christ. Do you know your position in the body of Christ? Are you working in your position? It doesn't matter if you have a secular job. You belong to this body. Are you doing due diligence to make sure that this little body stays together? That your brothers and sisters are together, that they're all right? Are we fighting for our pastor? This is not fun and games. I cannot believe. I don't even stop to think anymore about what they have gone through. Because it's not beneficial. They're not under siege, but they're in a siege. And they can't fight it alone. That's our position. We have to do that. We have to understand. Bone has to be with his bone. Whatever you are, whatever your position, wherever you think you are in the body of Christ, function there. You have to function there. And, well, you have to function. We can't just sit around and say, oh, well, he'll get over it and he'll be fine and, you know, and all. Really? Really? Then you're not a fighter. And I don't know how long you're going to last in this mess if you're not. But he says, every bone came clattering together, bone to his bone, his bone. I need to know who to pair up with in this body. I need to know who is working as hard as I am to stay on target, to endure the things that come? Who is there in this body that is doing that? You know, and I want to be with them. I want my bone to be next to their bone. I want to be connected to them. You know, because if I get weak, they'll pull me up. And if they get weak, I will pull them up. Bone to bone. That's what it has to be. We have to find our place in the body. Even if you're not functioning here, are you praying and do you know how to pray? Are you really taking scriptures from the Bible and walking around the house and saying, this no weapon formed against my pastor shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us, we shall condemn. That is our inheritance. The words that come out of our mouth is our weapon, and you've got to be speaking them. And you have to get to the point where you know that those words are permeating the atmosphere. That you're not just saying, oh, well, you know, maybe I'll just read Psalm 34. And blah, 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 blah. No, we're going to have to put a little belief behind it. We have to begin to understand that our words have power. It is the power of the universe. It is. That's how we overcome by his spirit. You know, it says in the book of Revelation, what does Jesus look like on his white horse? He's got a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. What's that? The word of God. And by that, people are going to live and be justified, and by that, they will be repaid and punished. By the words, basically by the words of their mouth. We condemn ourselves, you know, because we don't watch our words. All right, so down in verse 10, So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath, what's the breath? The breath is the Holy Spirit. But he's not just saying this to one person. He's saying this to a body of people. All right? And he says, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the body of Christ to understand who they are and to stand up and start saying so. Let the redeemed say so. We're going to have to begin to realize it's not just the pastors and the elders that are going to do this. It's each and every one of us. When somebody is being attacked, you've got to have the words. You've got to have the ammunition to get them out of their misery and put them back on track. That's the reason that we're here. Pull it together. An exceeding great army. This is our immediate future. This is what's happening. Look at verses 12 and 13. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause... Now, he's talking to his people that have buried themselves in the world, all right? And cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. Glory to God. This is what is coming to pass. This is the rumbling that we're feeling here, you know. Now, I want to go over to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel and verse 5. So now we've got an exceeding great army. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's coming to pass. Now, here we have David, 2 Samuel 5, and I'm going to start with 22. Here we have David, and he's in a mess. I mean, the Philistines came up yet again. I mean, how many times have we heard that? Yet again. Here we go again. And here goes David again. And they spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Those are the giants. So, you know, that's what we're seeing in some of our cities today, is they look like giants to us. They look like they've got all, you know, that they can just tear everything they want apart. Nobody's stopping them. They have all the power. And I mean, and you know, our army and the police force, you just stand there and letting it happen. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? But that's exactly what's happening, okay? They are commanded to step back, all right? Now there's a big fight between, you know, the feds and all of that stuff. But we can't rely on either one of those sources. We don't know if they're going to cave or what. You know, we have no idea. So we need to prepare ourselves. We are the body of Christ. We are the army, a great exceeding army, okay? And so David, he runs to the Lord. And he says, what do I do? And the Lord said, thou shalt not go up. Just don't head right into him. And he says, fetch a compass round behind them. I see the Philistines are in the valley, and they're coming this way, and here's Israel, okay, David's army. And so God says, no. He said, don't go down in the valley. He said, go around and go behind them. Now, how they did that, I'm sure they had to go behind a mountain. Because I like to try to picture the maneuvers here. What are you saying? Go around and, you know, and all of that. Well, they said that they were in a valley. So David could tell his army, all right, you guys, that way and that way, go around, okay? And come behind them. and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when you hear the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before you to smite the host of the Philistines. And he did, and everything turned out fine. Some kind of strategy here. So you got to look at this, and you see, that's why I say, I don't know, do you guys hear, do you sense a rumbling, an unrest, a rumble? Well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's like what he's saying. He says, when you hear the sound of a going. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, he tells them to go and stand in the midst of the mulberry trees. You know what mulberry means? It means there's a weeping going on. There's a bemoaning. There is a bewailing. There is mourning going on with tears. Now, I've had my share of that. Seeing what has happened to my country has been very devastating and deeply hurting to me, because I've had the best of this country. And to separate myself from that, for me, it was very, very difficult. I think I'm mostly separated from it now because I've got to get on with this. I can't stay back there moaning and you know, mourning and tears and all. I can't stay there. I have to move on with the Lord. We have to move on, because the nations are as a drop in the bucket to the Lord. Nations are going to come up, rise up against nation. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. We had the best of it, and we blew it. Okay, so, but he says, when you hear a going. Now, when you look that up, it means when you hear, you're going to hear something, there's going to be a rumbling in the tops of the mulberry trees. And it's going to be the sound of a mighty army on the march. And the noise, it's going to be like the noise of horses' hooves. And so, you know, I've been thinking about all of this, you know, and it was so funny. You know, I was flipping through the channels the other night, and I came across, I don't know what it was, but it just read on the bottom, X-Men, and then it said Apocalypse. So I said, oh, Apocalypse. Now, I don't know anything about X-Men. I don't know what it is. So I thought, okay, Apocalypse. Well, everybody's killing and knifing and killing. I mean, it was the end of the world. I mean, it was horrible. I'm going, this is Apocalypse here. This is the horse's hooves, you know, the four horsemen and all this kind of stuff. Everybody's killing everybody. It's the end of the world. That's what they think. That's what they were portraying. I said, well, that ain't right. You know, none of that is right. I mean, yeah, that's going to happen to the bad guys. But what is the apocalypse? What is this rumbling? A mighty army on the march, which we've just seen in Ezekiel, and the sound of horses' hooves. Well, for David, what it was is God was just blowing a wind over the mulberry trees and making the Philistines think it was some kind of army coming up from the back of them, you know. And they, you know, they were caught in confusion and all of that. I mean, God can, I'm talking sound effects here. Come on, you know. I mean, God is the, he's the creator of all sound, you know. And so it scared them, and they were scattered, and, you know, they won it. They won that battle. But what is the apocalypse? You know, and I'm thinking, you know, is that what the horses' hooves are and all of that? Because I get into this stuff, you know, especially when it comes out of the Bible. And it's, the apocalypse is a Greek word that means, first it means an uncovering. It means an unveiling. God gave me this really neat little vision because, you know, I was asking, what is that? What am I? You know, and all of a sudden I saw a tarp or a canvas. Pretty heavy canvas, and it was covering something. But underneath was, you know, I was seeing all this boop, 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 that was hitting the canvas, you know, and I'm going, whoa, 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 there's another one, pop, 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 pop. But they couldn't get through the canvas, and I said, oh, that's like a rumbling, you know. And so then I, you know, I knew what apocalypse means. It means an uncovering of that, an unveiling. It means a disclosure. Now, he's going to take that covering off. And what are we going to find under there? It means, apocalypse means revealing. It means the revelation. The whole book of Revelation is the apocalypse. That's what it is. Well, what is it revealing, Lord? What is all the boop, 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 boop underneath this canvas that I'm seeing? I'll tell you. Go over to Revelation. Revelation, verse 1. We want to know what's going to be uncovered. We want to know what's going to be unveiled. We want to know what's going to be disclosed. All right? It's the revelation, verse 1, of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, that's us, things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record, so it's been confirmed, of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. That is all the apocalypse is. We're going to know, because, I mean, it is going to be pretty gruesome, you know, but not for us. The apocalypse is when all things have come to a point where now he's going to take the lid off. But I'm telling you what, when the cover comes off, we are going to be ready too. Because it's not just Jesus. Jesus, wherever he goes with his people. And we are going to be unveiled too. So, you could be burying yourself in this book, you know, in some tiny corner of your house or wherever, and just trying your very best to learn about the Lord. Some kind of situation comes to you, and you're dealing with it as best you can. You know, people are helping you with it, or whatever is happening, and you think, well, you know, he's never going to be able to use me for anything great. Well, you know, God never had any great people. He only had little nobodies like us. That gives me all kinds of encouragement. Because I want to be of service to him. I want to be in a position where if he calls upon me, I'm not going to run away, you know. I really want to be a tool that he can work with. I want that more than anything in the world. There isn't anything else I do want other than that. You know, that's what I want. I want to be in the army of the Lord. I want to know what I'm supposed to be doing, and I want to know that I have the power and the authority to do it according to his Spirit. We don't move out on our own. But see, you know, we have mostly women in this room right now. And we think, well, you know, what are we going to do? Well, in this kind of war, it doesn't matter what kind of plumbing you have. It doesn't matter, you know. The only thing that matters is your personal relationship with the revelation, with Jesus Christ. The closer you can get to him, the more that you can overcome, the more power he can put in you, the freer the Holy Spirit is in you to move and to do whatever you need to do. I mean, we don't know what we're going to see. You know, we have no idea. But it doesn't matter who you are, because we are going to move out in the power of His Spirit, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit. And so take heart, ladies. Now, I want to go on, but we can't. We're out of time. But I want to go over to Matthew 24, and we'll end there. Matthew 24 and verse 8. All these, now he goes through everything that we're going through, nations rising up against nation, famines, pestilence, earthquakes. Oy. We have an earthquake every day somewhere, it seems like, you know. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. That's going to happen to some of us. That's what it says. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended. Now, this is the enemy here. This is the enemy. Because this word, offended, means scandal. All right? It means all along the way that we're in this mess that we're in and we're trucking toward the goal, all right, there's going to be entrapment. There's going to be, you're going to be tripped up and you're going to stumble and you're going to be enticed to sin. Now, we know so many of our brothers and sisters that used to be sitting right next to us in this place. And what happened? What happened? Somebody got offended. Because offended, I have it written in my margin, it says, they'll say it's not worth it. That's what they'll say. It says, can't even read it. But it says that we'll just beginning to say, man, this is too much. I really can't do this. I thought I could, but, you know, I'm done. I don't like what he said to me. I don't like the reason that he said it was wrong. You know, she did this to me. And, you know, I mean, that's what offended means. And you think, well, that's not very Christian. That's not what the Bible says, what they did to me or what he said to me. That's wrong. And I can prove to you in the Bible that that's wrong. And your point is what? Your point is what? Not me. Man, I've been through stuff. I could write a book. But I don't care what I've had to go through. I don't care how many times I've been chewed out or what people say about me. I refuse to be offended, because that's the thing that can blow you right out of the water. It doesn't matter what he said to you, whether it was scriptural or not. It doesn't matter what she did to you, if that's scriptural or not, she should know better. And then I went and talked to an elder, and they said this, blah, 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 blah. And your point is what? Is this where you're supposed to serve God? Then you got no choice. Shut up, sit down, and hold on. Because it's going to happen. Because offenses will come. Guaranteed, they will come. And all of us that have spent any time in this church at all have been offended. But bless God, you come back. We're coming back. Amen. And I guess that's where I have to stop. I wanted to get into Psalm 110. Let's go there anyway. Because I don't want to, I mean, this is what pulls me out of the hole every time. Every time I get to feeling, oh my gosh, I don't know, we can't do this, you know, what's going to happen now? Psalm 110, I love the whole psalm, but I'll narrow it down. This is what you need to know, he said. Thy people, verse 3, thy people, your people, shall be willing in the day of your power. Remember that. Mark it up, look up the words, because what it's saying here is, in the day of God's power, when the forces are against us, when the hosts of evil are coming at us, when we don't know what to do or what to expect. This verse says, your people shall be willing in the day of your power. This is the verse that helps me believe I'm not going to let the Lord down. Because if I'm faithful to him as far as I can be faithful to him, and I still don't believe that I have any power at all, and there's still fear that's nagging at me, this says, willing here, this is what willing means. Listen to this. It means you will become spontaneous, proceeding from a natural, personal impulse without effort or premeditation. Do you understand what I just said? It says, when something confronts us that is pure evil, that what will happen within us is we will spontaneously, it's not premeditated, not forethought, doesn't matter how strong or how weak you are, but spontaneously, when you're confronted with something, you will, the spontaneity will proceed from a natural personal impulse without effort or premeditation. In other words, you are Superman in a nanosecond. You don't even have to go into a phone booth and change your outfit. You know, we look like Clark Kents, you know, and I don't know, but we might look like Clark Kents until Jesus comes for us. I don't know what we're going to look like. I always thought I'd be, all right, here I am, you know. I don't think so. I may still look like a Clark Kent. But when the chips are down and I'm facing something, this proves to me that I will be willing. It will happen in me without my doing a thing about it. If I'm faithful to the Lord, there will be a spontaneous response. Hallelujah. Is that good? Thank you, Father. Oh, Father, we just bless you for that. I mean, that just does it, Lord. We thank you, Father, that we're on the earth right now at this time, Father. It's an interesting time. It's a fearful time, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for your spirit that is ever growing inside of us. For whatever evil befalls us, Father, we can stretch out our hands and begin to pray, and you will be there for us. Because nothing's going to happen to this little earth of ours, Father. Your people are going to be raised up a mighty, exceedingly mighty army. And it does not appear, we cannot conceive what it will look like, Father. But we're going to follow our leader. The captain of the host is Jesus. And we are following in his footsteps. And we're not going to have to run in fear, Father, because spontaneously we will move out as we should, because we are willing, Lord. We are willing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Does that give you a little guts? Does that give you guts, ladies and gentlemen?